Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
We've been reading from this scripture for the past few weeks, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. I hope you're not tired of it because, man, it's a good scripture. It's a good message, and it's from the message. So let's go. Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I've voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralist, loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in. So a few years ago, I'm on my way to work. And as I'm driving out of my neighborhood, I see this lady passing in front of me, so I'm slowing down. And as she's passing this question, I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me, and I start thinking this, does this lady know how loved she is by God, the plans He has for her, that if she believes in Him or has believed in Him, her destiny secure in Him? And as I'm thinking these thoughts, I hear just this question come into my spirit. Go tell her. Go tell her. And I'm just right there and I'm like, eh? Yeah, go tell her. And I'm like, oh Lord, I'm in my car. I need to look for parking. But let me just tell you, I didn't tell her. And I've been challenged by that question. Go tell her. I've been challenged in my heart, and today I'm so excited that I get this third part of this series that we've been looking at, Fixed for My World. I believe God is setting us up for a divine revival in Nairobi Lighthouse Church. Not only as a corporate church, but as an individual. That when we align ourselves, you and I align ourselves to the heartbeat of God. I'm telling you, life comes. Miracles come. The supernatural is experienced. You're overwhelmed even by it. So church, we are living in such exciting times. I'm telling you, these are exciting times for NLC, because we are being fixed for our world. Bible says, since everything is going to be destroyed like this, what kind of people should we be? You should lead holy and godly lives as you wait for the day of God and work to hasten its coming. Work to what? Hasten His coming. Pastor, don't talk to us about the work and the warfare and the witnessing that is needed to focus on that lost world. And we need to be doing this quickly, people. Quickly. Because according to this scripture, there's an urgency. There's an urgency on us. And today, my job is not just to challenge us. My job is to inspire us. My job is to charge us, so that we can leave this place, go out, and hasten this work. We heard from George, what are we becoming? Speaking of the work that we're supposed to be doing in and out of ourselves, and what we work on is what we are going to become. Then Rebecca last week so wonderfully preached. Can we appreciate this sister of mine? And asked us, are we losing our bearings? Am I losing my bearings? Talking about the warfare, the work that needs to get into getting ourselves aligned to what God has in store for us. And today, I'm here to take us through the witnessing. And we've been asking this series of questions because we want to examine ourselves, not lie to ourselves. See where we're at. You don't just want to be hearers. You want to do something about it. I had this quote, at the close of life, the question will not be how much have you got, but how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed? Not how much were you honored, but how much have you served? That's what will happen. Take stock now. Don't wait till the end when it's too late to make a difference. I had this story. My wife was telling me about this family. Their son was hearing impaired, and so they had to get their hearing aids. They didn't have insurance, so they were told $6,000 to get them. And they didn't have $6,000, so they sacrificed to come up with that money. Finally, they got it. The child was excited, going on his merry way. So one day, he decided to go out and play football. And when he came back from the field, they were gone. He didn't have them. So the mom signaling to him is like, where are your hearing aids? He's like, I don't know. The mom sent that child back at home. Abu, you go look for those hearing aids. So the boy goes. He looks. Nothing. He comes home and tells the mom, I can't find them. The mom looks at the boy and says, go back again and look harder. So the boy goes. After a while, he comes and says, Mom, I can't find them. So now the mom goes. And after a few, she comes back and she's with them. So the son is perplexed. Where did you find them? She looked at the son and said, you know, son, you went out looking for hearing aids. I went out looking for $6,000. That's the difference. And this is the question that I want to ask you. Do you even see your world? Are you looking for hearing aids or are you looking for 6,000? Do you see those around you as the ones you've been entrusted to reach? Do you have the same value God has for them? You know, a lighthouse isn't responsible for all the ships in the sea. It's responsible for the ones in front of it. The ones in front of it. Who's in front of you? Who's in front of you? Just like me and the lady passing by, she was right in front of me. And I'm being told, go, tell her. Church, there's something powerful that I want us to focus on today that Paul said. From our key scripture, it says, but I entered their world. I did what? Entered their world, and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. There's something powerful about entering people's worlds. With the rains and with the floods. I heard of a gentleman and his family who lost everything. I mean everything. Water came from nowhere. He was telling me the story. It was all the way up to his neck. And he's trying to save his family. Small kids, his wife, everything he has. And he's struggling to get, in fact, he was trying to go get everything. And his wife said, leave everything. It's not worth your life. Leave it all. And you could hear the despair in his voice. I've lost everything. I'm starting from scratch. I don't even know where to start. And so I asked him, what can I do? What can I do? The man was so taken aback, he didn't even know what to say. Started thinking. He said, let me talk to my wife. I said, whatever it is that you need and we can provide, we'll get my cell and the cells around us And we're going to help you start. We're going to give you a footing. You might have lost everything, but you've not lost your life. So you can start all over again. And you can pick yourself up. And let me tell you something exciting. God inside of him, you started hearing it in his voice. Hope came alive. He was like, I'll send you a list. I'll send you a list so that you can help me. There's something powerful. There's something powerful when we get into people's worlds. So in witnessing, my third question to us today is this. Simply, am I getting into their world? Am I getting into their world? Who's that person in front of you? Are you getting into their world? My brother's telling me this story, and he goes through some interest. You all think I have stories. That brother has stories for days. He's telling me this story. There were two thugs from our neighborhood. These guys were notorious, young guys. Notorious. I mean, one of them was beaten so badly, mob justice. The cops went and called the mother and told the mother, if you don't take these boys out of this place, they're going to die. So the mother sends them away. And they end up in my brother's town. And so one of the guys is forming and walking with him, meets these two gentlemen. And they come to him and they tell him, hey. Because now them, when they went to that place, all they know, their trade is illegal stuff. So they went back to that stuff. So they're telling him, I hear in that place you come from, man, there are some white people. Can we sell some stuff to them? So the guy looks at them straight and tells them, okay, come tomorrow, I'll introduce you. So they go happy, excited. They come the following day. The following day was Sunday. And where he told them to come was church. So they enter the church and they're like, okay. What's going on? The gospel is preached. The two brothers give their lives to the Lord. Their lives are turned around. And now they're wondering, what do we do with this thing? They got rid of them. They got baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, taken through fast steps, their fast steps. And now my brother gave them jobs. So now they can have that hope. And they're so excited because for the first time in their lives and in a long time, they're doing something they can be proud of. They can call their mother at home and say, we've changed. Because someone came into our world. Getting into one of the boats, we know this story. Jesus gets into Peter, Simon Peter's boat. And after sharing, he tells them, let's go out. And he tells them, cast your nets on the other side. We know this story. And he said, Master, we've been toiling all night and we've caught nothing. And he says, just do it. And they do it and a miracle happens. But these are the words of this man. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at what had just happened. By this man coming into their boat. So he tells them in the end, verse 11, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Ask yourself, do you have others in mind? Ask yourself, I want us to take a moment right now. Think about someone. Think about someone right now you know you can reach. Who's in front of you? You know you can reach. It's your neighbor. He's right in front of you. You see him every day and you know he needs Jesus. Your friend is at work. Schoolmate. Your guard who opens the gate every day. For you. The lady who cleans for your house and you just wave as you leave. Who is in front of you that you can think of right now? That you can get into their world. As we heard last week, we can be so self-centered. so self-consumed. But let it not be said of us, you have plenty to live on and nothing to live for. You have plenty to live on and? What's your game plan, people? Who are we targeting? You know, my dad has a game plan. When my dad leaves his house, he has Bibles. He's got the worship of his day. Because he takes time in the morning, he praises the Lord. He's a worship leader. I'm a second generation worship leader. He worships the Lord. He has a scripture. He has four remas that he knows these are the four that I'm going to use. And he just goes out. And as he's walking, you don't want to meet my dad. Anyone in his sight, he has a plan. I've told the church this. I even tell my inside class. Last year, he wanted to personally win 650 people to the Lord. He met that target and passed it. This year, he told me I want to get to 1,350. He has always these weird numbers. Like, why 1,350? Just like that's what came out in prayer. And me, I'm there thinking, hey, I need to style up. What's our game plan? I have discovered one thing that keeps us complacent in reaching out. It's fear. Rejection. Just like me with that lady. Do you know what kept me from going? Fear. I was afraid that if I go, my young man. No, Pastor Zon was sharing a few years ago, man, the world has made us scared of each other. We can't even say hello. Who are you? We can't invite people to our house. Excuses. I start making excuses. There's no parking. I'm running to work. Pastor needs me to be there on time. Excuses. We start getting ourselves out of what you know God has said. Go. Tell her. Tell her. My mom tells this story. She's with the Lord now, but man, my mom was serious, man. This lady did some phenomenal, crazy stuff for the Lord. She went to a village and nothing was happening. They had gone to preach with my dad and their friends. Nothing was happening. No one is responding. Man, it's a tough day. You know, and it's a tough day in the harvest field. It was a tough day. So they come to find out the woman who was prominent in their village had just died. So, of course, everyone is mourning. And so now my mom has just decided, you know what, let me go sit down. And she's at a shop and she's watching as they're picking up the body and putting it in, you know, the hearse to take it to the mortuary. And she feels this stirring in her heart. Go raise that woman. If you know my mom, she knows this is the Lord. She is like, this is the Lord. So she says, okay. She wakes up and she's going directly. Then she decided, instead of going by myself, let me call my husband. We go together. That's where everything went downhill from there. My dad, it was told the story. He went, way. Who told you she wants to be resurrected? What if she was the witch of the village? What people, if people don't want this? Who told you? Then my dad went to his friends and called them. Abu, listen to what Jen, which is we call Jen. Jen is saying, at least she goes raise that thing. They came running. No, please don't. Please don't. Don't do this. If it doesn't happen, we'll be the laughing stock. Now fear started getting into my mom. And she learned this lesson from that day forward. Next time, when the Lord speaks, go! I'm not the one who raises the dead. He does! He said, go, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead. Go! She was just wondering, imagine if that woman woke up. This whole village would be saved. Fear can keep you from entering into people's world. The enemy is set on making sure you and I don't share this gospel. Pastor Jack Haynes has this famous message about if I were the devil. It's a very moving title, man. All of us preachers are like, you wish you had that message, man, because it's a powerful message. And this is what he wrote. He said, if I were the devil, I would mock and jeer, intimidate and cause fear, ridicule and sneer, and sadistically leer. I would stop up their ear and confuse what they hear. I would provoke them to veer without mercy or tear, keep the gospel unclear, make the process seem too dear, their soul I will shear to keep him from drawing near and my future right here. Do you know what the Bible tells us? Why the Bible tells us to go and proclaim this message to all creation? It's because he says, until the whole world hears the gospel, the end can't come. The enemy knows the end is coming, but he's going to delay that ending. So what is he going to do to us? Keep us. Stop us from spreading this gospel. He will make us fearful. He will make us intimidated. He will deceive us. The world doesn't need to know this. Don't disturb that person. Hey, look how quiet they are, peaceful in their own lives, going on. And meanwhile, they are losing their minds. They are hopeless, contemplating to kill themselves. And there you are, standing. We keep saying, Jesus, come. Jesus keeps telling the church, go. Go. Because if you go, I'll come. But if you don't go, I'm not gonna come. That's the simple truth. So, where do we start? You might ask. Where do we start? So this is our practical response. Identify three people in your world you want to reach out to. Identify and even share with yourself. Pray and fast this week. Then next week, we're going to give you invitation cards that you'll pick on your way out and use that invitation card to go to that person's world and invite them to the house of God. Invite them for Easter. Tell them there's a great exchange that's happening in our church. Come and let's fill this place with people. That's our response. Let's get there. Let's get creative. Pray, ask God, how do I get into these people's world? One of my cell guys, years ago, he was a single guy. He had moved into this apartment spot. And all these young people are there, man. Music, all this drinking, everything. And he's wondering, man, how do I reach my neighborhood? So he decides, goes, puts a flyer, says, PS at my house, free snacks. Come this day. And posters them on every floor. So guys show up. Like a lot of guys showed up. And he invited some of our cell guys that time. Guys went. Played. Of course, them, they are go talking, just their things. So just, people are relaxing. Let's not make, you can't say that. You know, it's... So afterwards, man, they're wondering, why are you doing this? And some people asking, is there any drink? They're told, yes, soda. They saw that for you. So as it's winding down, he tells them, let me tell you a bit about myself as my introduction to you. And he ministers the gospel. Out of that, started a cell. Get into their world. You will be surprised what happens. you will be surprised. So I want to tell you, I want to finish with this. And all of us know the four books of the Bible, Sidio, four Gospels. Matthew. Yeah, the back row is not saying anything. It's okay. You're thinking this is a trick question. It's not. But I had one person say, there's a fifth one. And I was like, who? The fifth one is you. You're the fifth gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. You're the good news the world is waiting for. We are meant to be living epistles, read and known by all. Let me tell you, you never know that the person in front of you can be the person who's going to open the keys to the world around you. I heard of this guy who went to Senegal. And as he's ministering, God, he gets a stirring, goes to the marketplace, decides to preach the gospel. And if you know about Senegal, it's predominantly Islam. But him is being bold and he's preaching and people are there. Don't listen. And there's a small crowd gathering. But he sees on the corner there's a guy who's not meant to be in that place. He's so well-dressed. Nice suit. Looks great. But he's looking at him keenly. Listening to him. So he calls for an altar call. This man steps forward. Everyone starts shouting at this man. Don't go. Don't go. He's lying to you. And him is saying, I don't care. Whatever I've heard this man say, man, it has touched my heart. And he gave his life to the Lord. So as they are going and he's having this connect time with this man, he asks him, why were people so against you? He looks at him and says, it's because of who my father is. His father was the number one imam in the country. Let me tell you the testimonies and the lives that were changed as a result of that man turning his life around were tremendous. You never know that the person right in front of you can be the keys to the rest of your world. So go, tell them. Go, tell them. Find them. Pray for them this week. Invite them. Father, I want to thank you for this moment in your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is found in your word. Father, I ask that, Lord, you would minister and stir us even as we leave this place, that those we meet give us opportunities to get into their world and make a difference. Make a difference. Let us not just be hearers, Lord. Please let us not. Let us be doers. You've been dealing with us this past few weeks, dealing with what's inside. Now it's time to go outside. It's time to make a difference. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Come on, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. The truth is, he isn't coming until we start going. So let's go. You're blessed. See you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.